You're listening to sermons from Bethany Baptist Church. For more information, visit us at bethanychicago.org.
Then I said to them, "You see the trouble we are in, how Jerusalem lies in ruins, with its gates burned. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer suffer derision." And I told them of the hand of my God that has been upon me for good, and also of the words that the king had spoken to me. And they said, "Let us rise up and build." So they strengthened their hands for the good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite servant and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they jeered us and despised us and said, "What is this thing that you are doing? Are you rebelling against the king?" Then I replied to them, "The God of heaven will make us prosper, and we, his servants, will arise and build, but you have no portion or right or claim in Jerusalem."
Nehemías, capítulo 2, versículos del 16 al 20. Los gobernadores no supieron a dónde fui ni qué hice, porque hasta entonces no había dicho nada a ningún judío, ni a los sacerdotes, ni a los nobles, ni a los gobernadores, ni a los que estaban trabajando en la obra. Por eso les dije, "Ustedes son testigos de nuestra desgracia. Jerusalén está en ruinas y sus puertas han sido consumidas por el fuego. Vamos, anímense. Reconstruyamos la muralla de Jerusalén para que ya nadie se burle de nosotros." Entonces les conté cómo la bondadosa mano de Dios había estado conmigo y les relaté lo que el rey me había dicho. Al oír eso, exclamaron, "¡Manos a la obra!" y unieron la acción a la palabra. Cuando lo supieron Sanbalat, el eronita, Tobías, el oficial amonita y Gesén, el árabe, se burlaron de nosotros y sus preguntas de manera despectiva, pero ¿qué están haciendo? ¿Acaso pretenden rebelarse contra el rey? Yo les contesté, "El Dios del cielo nos concederá salir adelante. Nosotros, sus siervos, vamos a comenzar la reconstrucción. Ustedes no tienen arte ni parte en este asunto, ni raigambre en Jerusalén." La palabra del Señor.
All right. Good morning, everybody.
This is much. Oh, my goodness. Oh, Lord. My classmate wanted to make sure I'm heard. Okay. Any way we can pull it down a little bit? We're going to pull it down a little bit. All right. So these guys from Liverpool, and so this is back with albums. Anybody remember albums? LPs? Okay, good. All right. It's usually I'm the oldest person in the room, so I have to deal with LPs versus streaming, amen, and downloads. And so these guys came out with some music like She Was Just 17 or Twist and Shout and different songs like that. And again, I never heard of them before, but it was the Beatles. Anybody ever heard of the Beatles before? Okay, yeah, wow. If I had that many hands raised for WMBI, I'd be a happier person right now. Anyway, so they did this song, which was like a ballad. And despite all the upbeat and frenetic music that they did "Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday." And I was like, wow, that is so pretty. And I'm only probably 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, but I thought, wow, how beautiful. Thanks for the adjustment on the mic. Appreciate it. And so I get saved when I'm 14 years old, and mom isn't playing WVON. All she's playing is 90.1 FM, and all we've got in the house, unless I sneak it in the house, is Christian music. And so one day I went downtown. I heard a guy named Andre Crouch, and Andre and Bill Maxwell were at the Picasso, and they took that Beatles song, and they made it something different. So I want to share a little bit of that, then we're going to dive in the Word. Is that okay? All right. Andre said, Calvary, where Jesus bled and died in agony on a cross meant for you and me. Oh, I believe in Calvary. Suddenly, I'm not the sinful one I used to be. I was blind, but now I see. Oh, I believe in Calvary, why he loved me so. I don't know, he would not say, I did so much wrong, but he took my wrongs away. Calvary. Anybody believe in Calvary? Where Jesus bled and died in agony on a cross meant for you and me. Oh, I believe in Calvary, why he loved me so. I don't know, he would not say, I did so much wrong, but he took my wrongs away. Calvary, where Jesus bled and died in agony on a cross meant for you and me. Oh, I believe in Calvary. Yeah, yeah, I believe in Calvary. Somebody help me say, I believe in Calvary. Come on, help me say, I believe. Oh, yeah, in Calvary. Everybody say, I believe in Calvary. Wave your hand and say, I believe in Calvary. I'm not ashamed to say, I believe, oh Lord, in Calvary. I'll tell the world that I believe in Calvary. If you love him, say, I believe in Calvary. Oh, I believe in Calvary. Clap your hands and say, I believe in Calvary. I'll tell the world that I believe in Calvary. I found forgiveness cause I believe in Calvary. One more time, say I believe in Calvary. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for the cross. Amen. Thank God for the cross. Well, our scripture's already been read, And I want to have a word of prayer, then I'll give you the title, and then we're going to give you a brief message, all right? Bow with me in a word of prayer. Dear God, thank you so much for allowing us to be together. Pray in the name of Jesus, you'll continue to move by your spirit. Thank you for the brother that's already prayed, sisters that have already led us in worship. Thank you for the wonderful pancakes and orange juice downstairs and the fellowship. Thank you for this church. I pray you continue to bless, lead, and guide. Let it be so in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. I want you to just say it out loud with me. We will rebuild. Come on, say it one more time. We will rebuild. Amen. The book of Nehemiah is a book filled with drama, suspense, victims, and villains. It has royalty. It also has political bullies. It has a hero that's not afraid to fight or throw hands, as they would say in the streets, if someone attempts to stop him from doing God's will. The book is written around 420 BC, and it starts off with some bad news. I think most of us know what it is to have bad news in our lives, but this news was so devastating to Nehemiah that he broke down and cried. His brothers had visited him from a faraway land where he actually was from, and they said to him, "The walls are broken down, the gates are burned." In essence, we're vulnerable to the enemy's attack. At any minute, an enemy can run in, attack us, hurt us, devastate us, and run back out. An enemy can run in through the gates and take whatever we worked for, whatever we built up. They can burn it up, tear it up, steal it, and leave out. Some of you know what it is to be vulnerable, to feel like life can knock you down and kick you to the curb, and you wonder, when will you stop being a victim in circumstances and in situations? I love the fact that Nehemiah is a person that decided to do at least three things to deal with the tore up part of his heritage and the tore up part of his present, and have a determination to build up what God had for him. Now, Jerusalem was a key place in biblical times. It's a place that God has set aside to be that great city. And it's the place where God has said, this is a land for Israel. And it's a chosen land. It's a blessed land. It's a land that God has promised Abraham and further on. It's a land that many people are fighting all over, even to this day, Israel, and in particular, Jerusalem. Well, I love the fact that when he gets this news that the city is in disarray, walls are broken down, gates are burned, he does these three things that I think can help us as we decide to rebuild our lives, our families, our church, our community. Can I share those three things with you? Okay, yes. Here's the first one, intercession. Everybody say intercession. Well, you all know what intercession is. Intercession means that it's a time of prayer. Chapter 1 talks about how when he prayed, he really is dealing with three things in his prayer. First thing that he's dealing with is the personhood of God. My fear is this. We no longer see God as God. We see him as an accessory. We see him as a luxury or something nice, and we don't see him as a necessity. But I think the hymn writer was right when he said, "I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee." I'm desperate for who he is and what he's doing in my life. He looks at God as a person who's not just a phantom, as some hologram, as some spiritual force. He looks at him as the Almighty God, the one that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or even think. He looks at God as the awesome God. King James Version calls him the terrible God, not terrible in the sense that we use the word terrible, but as in terrifying. And I think that people, unfortunately, have lost their reverence for God. That doesn't mean that God has been diminished, but I grew up in a time, if you were going to curse, you weren't going to curse in front of the church. If you were going to smoke, you put your cigarette out before you passed the church and wouldn't relight it until you got past the church. These days, God's name is used in vain. The Bible is considered irrelevant, etc. But I'm here to let you know God is still God, and he will have the final word, whether the world wants to believe that or not. He prays to this awesome, great God. We need your help. I want to encourage you as you intercede for friends, family, yourself, the church, community, don't pray to a pocket-sized Jesus. I want you to pray to the God that can do anything with anybody at any time. He's great. He still can bring Shadrach, Meshach out of the fiery furnace. He can still bring Lazarus out of the tomb. He's still able to shake up any prison cells like he did with Paul and Silas. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His personhood of God, he deals with that. Second thing he deals with in chapter 1 in his prayer is penance. He says, God, I need you to forgive us. Forgive me. Forgive us. I know that some people don't use the word sin anymore, but sin really is still there. The old hymn says, sin had left a crimson stain. And the only one who can wash it white as snow is Jesus through his blood. I want to encourage you today, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He said, well, why is that an encouragement? It's encouragement because you're not alone. You're not perfect. He's not perfect. She's not perfect. We've all sinned. We've all made mistakes. We've all done wrong. We've all fallen short of the mark that God has for us. But I love this verse that says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's hope of forgiveness. If any man... If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Someone has put it like this. This was years ago. They said many of our insane asylums would empty out if people could just believe that their sins were forgiven. If they could just deal with the guilt and the shame of their past. Well, I don't know what percentage that would be. But I won't ask you to raise your hand. There are people who are sitting here today that know what it is not only to have someone else not forgive you, but you know what it is not to forgive yourself. And then you project that onto God as if God will never forgive you for what you've done. I want to let you know, if you confess your sins, he's faithful, he's just, he's righteous, he's okay, he's great, he's mighty in washing those sins away. And even when you feel like I can't forgive myself, I want you to know, not only can God forgive you, he'll give you the grace to forgive yourself. He deals with penance. God, cleanse me, wash us. We want to be the people you want us to be. We need you to have mercy on us. Third thing he deals with in that prayer is the fact that God is a promise keeper. Anybody know that God is a promise keeper? That God is faithful, yeah, that God will stand up for his word, stand by his word, will hold his word up. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will stand forever. He says, you promised that if we repented, no matter where we're scattered, you would bring us back. We know we've sinned, but you promised if we repented, you'd bring us back. And so, God, here I am repenting. Here I am asking you to have mercy on us, and I want you to hold on to your word and hold it up. I want you to know that God is still faithful. Other people might mess up. Other people might let you down. Other people might go astray, go the wrong way, and even lie. But God is faithful and he's true. Nehemiah knew that. He interceded for people. I want you to know that the same God that answered Nehemiah, he answers you. He cares for you. He's there for you, and he's able to meet your need right where you're at. He's able to deal with that wayward son, that wayward daughter, that wayward parent, that wayward sibling. He's big enough and he's tough enough to deal with that situation. I'm asking if you would just put it in God's hand. No matter what the issue might be, instead of the devil reminding you how big your problem is, I think at some point you need to stand up and remind the devil how big your God is. Come on, somebody say amen. All right, let's get to the second point. The first point is intercession. The second point is inspection. Inspection. What's the second point? Oh, you got to say it with more power than that. What's the second point?
Inspection.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. There's a story about a guy who was a Texas Ranger, and there was a bandit that had robbed banks part of Texas. And so the bandit not only had robbed the banks, but he fled to Mexico. And so while he's there, the Texas Ranger catches up with him and says, "I finally got you. Where's the money? Where's the money at?" And the bandit says, "No habla español, no habla español, no habla español." He said, "Is somebody here that can translate? Somebody that can speak English and Spanish? Is there anyone?" Finally, a guy says, "Sí, señor, sí, sí, I speak English." And so he comes up and he said, "Well, tell him I got him cornered and he is going to jail." He speaks Spanish, tells the guy that. He said, "And I know he's got the money. I know he couldn't have spent. It's like $1 million that this guy robbed. I know he still got this money. He needs to tell me where it's at or I will shoot him. Tell him right now." The guy says to the man, "Hey, this is what he said." And he said, "Okay, well, did he respond?" He said, "Yeah, he's crying right now. He's desperate right now." He said, tell him one more time, "I will shoot him dead if he does not tell me where this $1 million is. Right here, right now." The guy tells him. And the man looks at the ranger. He looks at the translator. Looks at the translator, looks at the ranger. The guy gives it up. He says, "Okay, if he goes down about a half a mile north, he'll see a tree. And right next to that tree, he'll see a mound of grass and of dirt. And I dug it up, and then I put the money there. I hid it, and that's where it's at. Tell him, please don't shoot me." And so finally, the ranger says, "Wow, he was talking a long time. What did he say?" The translator looked at the man, the bandito, and he looked at the Texas Ranger, and he said, "Well, he just simply said, you might as well shoot me, because I ain't telling you nothing." Well, that's not what he said. But what this guy is thinking is, "I'm going to go get this money, and you can shoot him, and we're going to keep it moving." I need you to stop for a second and ask yourself, how many times have people translated your situation for you instead of you getting a translation from Almighty God? How many times have you said, "If this happens to me, it must mean this. Because this tragedy has occurred," the devil steps in and says, "God doesn't care about you. Let me give you a translation. God's not strong enough to handle your situation. Let me give you a translation. God is not willing to do what he's capable of doing because he hates you." That's the wrong translation. What happens is this in this passage of scripture. Nehemiah not only has heard from his brothers, he decided he would come to Jerusalem and inspect for himself, as it were, to get the proper translation. I need to see it with my own eyes. I need to inspect it. Now, you need to think about this for a second. He's traveled about 900 to 1,000 miles to get from Babylon to Jerusalem. He couldn't do all this on his own. Just think about it for a second. He needed to intercede with God and with the king of Persia because he was his cupbearer. King wouldn't drink anything unless Nehemiah drank it first. Wouldn't eat anything unless Nehemiah ate it first, just in case it was poison. I'm sure he was fond of Nehemiah, but hey, if it's poison, you're going to die, and I'm going to live to say some kind words at your funeral. Amen. That's what's going on. And so when he's in the presence of the king, I'm going backward just a little bit, the king sees that he's sad. He said, "Man, what's going on? Why are you sad?" Nehemiah trembles a little bit because you're not allowed by law to be sad in the king's presence. This is a good reason for you to die. You should be happy. You should be filled with joy and excitement. And let me just say this parenthetically. Wouldn't it be nice if when I went to McDonald's, I went to Burger King or any fast food establishment, even some restaurants, that they would take on that same mentality? I can't afford to be mean or cruel or belligerent. I should always be happy and excited to serve you. Amen. That's what I would love to see happen. Amen. Okay, I'm out of that parenthetical situation. Because I've gone. I'm just stay here just for a second. I've gone to some places, and the lady has said, okay, so what you want to eat? I want a number one, and I want it to be medium. So, okay, what to drink? What to drink? You mean what would I like to drink? What to drink? Okay, I'd like to have a Coke. We don't have any Cokes. What else you want? I want you to adjust your attitude because I'm a paying customer. That's what I want. Amen, somebody? Amen. All right, praise the Lord. Let me come back. Let me come on back to the sermon. I'm venting. Amen. All right, I'm back now. So Nehemiah says, hey, this is what I need in order for me to get to this land. Amen, I'm going back just a little bit. I need a letter. I need a leave, a space of time, and I need lumber. These are three things I need. I need lumber because I need to rebuild the walls, some support as I build it up. I need a length of time to get it done. I won't be gone for a week. I won't be gone for 2 weeks. I won't be gone for a month or two. It's 900 miles away. Walking, that's 400 miles. Even with a horse, that's 4 months. It's 900 miles. 4 months of distance. I need time. I want you to take this in, my brother, my sister. Time is the most valuable thing you've got outside of Jesus. I want you to hold on to that. And I get it, family and friends, etc. But time keeps on slipping into the future. It really does. Ask God to teach you to number your days so you can apply your heart to wisdom, because time keeps on moving on. So he says, okay, I need the lumber, I need to leave. But I also need a passport. I need a passport so I can go from place to place to place to place as I'm traveling. Any of you that have traveled in here before know how important a passport is, right? Just so you can enter a country, you can leave a country without drama, without craziness. I want to encourage you, not only in the natural, but in the spiritual as well, that God has a word, and that word contains a passport for you to go from glory to glory to glory. Let me ask this question. Have you ever felt stuck before? Have you ever felt like I've been at this point for the longest time and I'm not sure that I can be in this? I want you to know that God has more for you in store. Amen. Thank you, brother. Does anybody believe that God has more for you than where you're at right now? It's not that you're trying to be greedy. It's not that you're trying to be a malcontent. It's not that. You just know a higher plane that I've found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Sometimes what will happen when you decide to go higher in God, the devil again will translate your situation and say, you can't go higher, you can't get bigger, you can't get stronger, you can't make more impact. I'm going to stop you right here at this point, and you can't go any further. What I want you to do is reach for your passport. I want you to reach for your visa from heaven. The one that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The one that says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I want you to reach for your passport, the word of God, the Bible that says, greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. I want you to reach for your passport, the word of God that says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his word. I want you to reach for your passport, how it tells you to put on the whole armor of God. You all know about that, right? Amen. Not only should you put on the helmet of salvation and have on the shield of faith, but you need to have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. When it says the word of God, that means the rhema word, the right now word. Some places where you need to go, Bethany, the reality is this. It's not going to be Cheesecake Factory.
It's just not. Amen. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be prunes. I wish I had some help in here right now. It's going to be whatever your least favorite food is. Mine is rhubarb. Whatever it is. Amen. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be upsetting, but you have to fight through and you have to stand on God's word and believe that God has more for me. And as I move forward, I'm not standing on my will or on my desires. I'm standing on the promises of God. Tell the devil, this is my passport and I'm moving on. In Jesus' name. All right. Amen. Thank you so much. Let me keep moving here. All right. We're talking about inspection. So he inspects the walls. He inspects the walls. He inspects the gates. He inspects the gates. He sees what it looks like. And when he sees what it looks like, it's at that point he comes up with a relevant plan. I want to encourage you with this also, Bethany, and I'm probably 15 minutes maybe 12 minutes away from shutting down completely or sitting down. I want to encourage you to look through the lens of hope, the lens of faith, the lens of possibility, through the lens of grace and say, God, whatever is broken, you can fix it or you can replace it. God, whatever is a hindrance, you can move it or give me power to get over it. God, whatever it might be, whatever walls are broken, whatever gates are burned, I'm praying, God, you'd help me to not only inspect it and stop at inspection, but I would look at it through the eyes of victory, believing that you're able to do more than I can imagine. Does that make sense, somebody? Amen. Amen. So inspect with the eyes of faith. Okay, let's move on to the third point. So the first point, what was the first point? Remind me. Intercession, right? We need to pray. God, help us to pray. What was the second point? Inspection. Amen. Third point is inclusion. Everybody say inclusion. Nehemiah says, you see the trouble that when he tells the people, after he's done his own inspection, after he's evaluated himself, after he's not taking everybody else's word for it, how bad it is, and da 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 da. Let me say this parenthetically, too. Please don't take everybody's word for things. And I know that might be a little tough. You need to check things out for yourself. Inspect it for yourself. Visit it yourself. Every now and then people will say mean things about other people, and you don't know those people or you barely know those people, and sometimes they have a bias. And, hey, I don't know all the evil that you said about them, but what I do know is God has called me to love everybody. And so I appreciate what you're saying, but until I have that experience, I'm going to go on in God. And amen. Amen. All right. Good. I think that's important. Have your own experience and love people, love God, and know that God is a God of grace and mercy. Amen. And don't let anybody baptize you into bitterness or baptize you into craziness or baptize you into their opinion. I don't know why I'm saying this, but let me say it. Anytime somebody decides you have to do what I say do or do it the way I say do it or I will hate you, that's manipulation. Come on, somebody. Don't do that. Don't do that. Amen. Let's give people space to get their own opinion. Then let's go on in Jesus' name. All right, back to the word of God. Amen. That was a commercial break right there. We're talking about inclusion. You see the trouble that we're in. You see the distress that we're in. The Hebrew word there is roah. Everybody say roah. It's being in an evil place. It's being in a detestable place. Remember how the scripture says, for I know the plans I have for you, they're for good and not for roah. They're not for evil. It's that place that's so dark and dismal that it seems like you can never come out of this. I need somebody to be like Diana Ross right now and say, I'm coming out. Amen. I'm coming out. He says, you see the roar that we're in. You see the distress that we're in. He said, but I want you to know God's hand is on me. Okay, I'm wrapping up right now. I want you to know God's hand is on me. I hope you have that in your spirit. No matter what you're facing today, God's hand is on you. God's blessing is on you. God's deliverance is on you. God's faithfulness is encompassing you. Yeah, I know it's a dark situation. I know it's a difficult situation, whether that's personally or community or whatever it might be. But no matter how dark and dismal the situation might be, God is bigger, God is stronger, God is brighter, and he's going to see you through. Andre Crouch said, if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. I wouldn't know what faith in his word could do. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. And I love not only this fact, he says, God's hand is on me. God's anointing is on me. God's power is on me. Let me pause here just one more time. Many times the reason for problems is because the devil sees your destination and wants to hinder you before you get there. I think any time you have a made up mind to go with God, the enemy wants to fight you, wants to stop you. And you know what? You need to have the made up mind. I'm going anyway. I'm determined to be all that God would have me to be anyway. That's the mindset you've got to have. He said, not only is God's hand on me, I'm trying to preach as fast as I can. Let me go over 1 minute, just one. Y'all don't mind, do you? All right, good. I got three people saying no. Hallelujah. I'm going with them. Look back over your life for a second. Come on. Matter of fact, close your eyes just for a second. Just for a second. I won't have them closed long. Look back over your life as your eyes are closed. And can you see God's blessing on your life? Come on, say it out loud. Can you see God's blessing on your life? Have you seen God made ways for you? Has he opened doors for you? Has he healed your body? Has he supplied your needs? Has he brought you a mighty long way? Well, come on, I want you to clap your hands right now and give him a praise for what he's done. Hallelujah. The same God that brought you safe thus far, he's going to lead you on. Does anybody believe that today? He's going to lead you on. I believe that with all of my heart. He says, not only is his hand on me, but I've got the king's letter right here. This is the king of Persia. When he seals something, it's irreversible. Well, that's a king that's on earth. He was a powerful king on earth, but he had his limitation. He lived, he had power, he conquered, but he died. I have a king that's greater than any other king that's ever walked this planet. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And just like the King of Persia had sealed stuff with his signet ring, and he sealed stuff by his power, I've got a God who is King of all gods, and what he says will happen. I need you to radically believe that what God says is going to happen. I've got the king's letter. I've got the Bible. I've got the word of God. It's not just my feelings. It's not just opinion of man. It's God's word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will stand forever. Okay. He included the people in, as if to say, and this is true, I can't build these walls all by myself, but God sent me to help you to get started. And the people rose up and said, we will rebuild. That's powerful. I was reading Chuck Swindoll's book, Hand Me Another Brick, on Nehemiah earlier today. And he said, these walls have been torn down for 150 years. And now all of a sudden, Nehemiah's going to show up and say, let's build. I know what the history is. I know what the horror is. But I know who God is. Let's build. Let's go forward. Let's do all that God has put in our hands to do. And the people said, we will arise and build. I want to encourage you here, Bethany. I want to encourage you as an individual, sir, ma'am, child, whoever you might be, parent. Let's build. God's not done with you. Matter of fact, being confident in this very thing, that he that's begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is not through with you. God is still working on you. God is still making ways for you. I believe that with all my heart. All right, I end with this thought. I think I shared this the last time I was here, but let me echo it one more time. There was a grandma that took her son to the country store. While they're at the country store, the manager comes out and says, oh, Miss Johnson, always good to see you. We love you, Miss Johnson. Who is this? It's my grandson from Chicago. It's always good to have these children come to Alabama And what's his name? Well, it's little Ricky. Ricky, how you doing, son?
Fine, sir. I'm fine. How are you?
Good, son. Glad you. Wait a minute. You just wait right here. Man goes in the back, comes out with a box of loose candy, peppermints, butterscotch, Tootsie Rolls, etc. He said, just dig in there and get as much candy as you can hold, okay? So little Ricky was like, oh, my goodness, this is great. This is wonderful. But he didn't do anything. Grandma said, hey, I got to make another run. So you got to get the candy so we can go, okay? Mr. Johnson, thank you, sir. Oh, I'm glad to do it. Little Ricky, go and get the candy. Just get it. Get the candy. And little Ricky just stood there. Grandma said, now, you know I have a belt. Don't make me pull it out, okay? Get the candy so we can go. Thank you so much for giving him an opportunity to get the candy right now. Get it. Get the candy. Little Ricky just stands there. The man looks at Grandma. Grandma starts going in her purse. Lord, have mercy. We're about to have some drama in the country store. And Lukey says, okay, wait, Grandma, you don't need to get the belt. And so the man said, ma'am, is he okay? Is it something? Is he a troubled child? What's wrong with him? All children love candy. The little boy's like, oh, Grandma, looking at the man, looking at the lady, looking at Grandma, man, Grandma, man, Grandma, man, Grandma, man. Finally, he says, sir, I want you to get it. Will you get the candy for me? The man shook his head, reached into this box of candy, got candy and put it in the bag. They get into the SUV to pull off. Grandma says, little Ricky, I know you love candy. You got the cavities to prove it. What in the world was going in there? You know what little Ricky said? He said, Grandma, I looked at my hands. Then I looked at his hands, and I realized I would get more if the candy was in his hands. Bethany, I want to leave you with something right here. Amen. Put it in God's hands. Your marriage, your singleness, your building, your ministry. Don't just keep it in your little hands, but put it in God's hands. Those nail-scarred hands, those healing hands, those delivering hands, those hands of breakthrough, those hands of blessing. When we put it in God's hand, incredible things can happen. Put it in God's hands, and I believe you can rebuild. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Dear God, thank you so much for my brother and my sister that's here today. I pray they won't run from intercession. They'll run to it. They'll seek you. They'll seek you. I pray that there will be people that deal in reality. They won't do name it, claim it. They won't deal with manifestation. They'll actually see the problem as a problem, and they deal with the problem as a problem. And God, I pray also that it won't just be a me solution. It'll be a we solution. We're in this thing together. We do love you. We do praise you. Thank you for this church. And thank you for this day of opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon from Bethany. We invite you to worship together with us on Sundays. For more information, visit BethanyChicago.org.